Well, praise the Lord. Talking about burdens we have on our minds, on our hearts. Tonight I want to talk about just sharing burdens. I know it's a kind of an oddity in a culture that tends to be pretty selfish. But you know what? Justification by faith alone and is by faith alone, and not by obedience to the law, okay? We know that. I mean, this is the gospel. This is the heart of the gospel, by the way. It's basically when Paul came and evangelized all these different places, he was teaching them that no one can keep the law and therefore have faith that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and therefore faith in him is what it takes to be saved. And James also went on to say so much as it said to be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's amazing how we get so many people who will hear the gospel, but they don't react to it, or they will hear teaching of Jesus Christ, but they won't react in a way that's pleasing to him. And Paul even talked about folks in, I think, in Corinth that they were not growing. They still needed milk, and so they couldn't digest the meat. And so Scripture gives us plenty of practical applications. And what I mean by that is these are things that you can read and do. Okay, these are practical applications. You can read it, and you can learn, and you can do something. It's not like you just read it and think theology. You can actually help people. So let's start with our first verse. Our first verse is Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And notice it says this. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault." Now let me pause there for just a second. This is the kind of fault that often comes on people by surprise. But sometimes people have faults, or how should I say, sins and whatnot, that are out of habit. And I mean, have you ever met that person who simply, you know, out of nowhere just blows up in anger over you? That's a fault. That's a fault that comes out maybe by surprise. You know, the straw that broke the camel's back is something hit them at the worst time, and they took it out on you. And I've had that happen before and not quite understood it, and I take it personally when I later find out that the person who had the fault had something going on in their life that just simply happened at the wrong time, and I was at the wrong place at the wrong time, and I've got the brunt of it. So folks, when a man or woman is overtaken in a fault, listen to this. It says, "Ye," or "you, which are spiritual." Think about that for a moment. Ask yourself this question. I don't want to see a show of hands, but ask yourself, am I spiritual? What does that mean? Godly. Am I a godly person? Am I the kind of person who can mentor somebody else? Maybe they're going through something I've already gone through before, and I can help them to see what it is. And maybe they're losing it. Folks, a lot of us are hanging by a thread over this COVID thing. A lot of us are. I mean, businesses. Oh my goodness. Businesses. People having to lay off people who have been friends and coworkers for years. And then all of a sudden, they're having to go out of business because they can't pay them anymore. I don't know if you would know what that feels like, but that would be heart-wrenching to have to let people go. And it's just so many people are barely hanging by a thread. So if you are spiritual and somebody gets overtaken in some kind of fault, call it a sin. We don't have to call it a fault. A sin. God is in the restoration business, and that's what I'm talking about here. In these three verses in Galatians, he's given us a very practical application to do something to help people. Now, for you, it might be a different set of circumstances, a different set of people in your life, but whomever it may be, God will send people your way. And you might think it's by chance, but I'll tell you, I believe in divine appointments. I really do. I believe in a divine appointments that God will send people your way. And if you're brave enough to pray, God, send me somebody that I can help. Did anybody watch the War Room movie? That's what she did. She was a praying woman, and she asked God to send her somebody that she could teach how to pray. Oh, it was a good movie. I recommend it. If you hadn't seen it, I recommend you watch it. You'll want to start praying right away after, especially that ending. Oh my goodness, that ending is something else. The ending, I won't spoil it for you, but the ending of the movie was so great. We were in the theater when we watched it. Man, oh man, you should have heard the crowd erupt when the woman started praying to the Lord. And I mean, she was giving the devil something else. She was telling him off. And she gets up there and she's praising him. And she's doing it in such a way that I think really ought to grasp us. If you hadn't seen the movie, please go see it. I recommend it. It's I think it's a very godly movie. It'll prompt you to want to pray. And so anyway, so she was very spiritual and she prayed. That's a brave prayer, by the way, to send me somebody that I can help. Because Galatians, Paul's telling us, he says, now restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. That means gentleness. So many times we catch somebody failing for whatever reason. Maybe they slip back into a habit that they shouldn't. And what do? We don't say, come on, brother, I'll help you out of that. No, we start pointing our finger and we quote scripture and we really give it to them. That's not what he's talking about here, folks. He's talking about restore. Restore such a one. How do, you know, when people need restoration, it means they have fallen. They've tripped. If you were walking down the street and somebody trips walking beside you, are you going to just keep on walking? You know, a lot of people do. Some people do. And no, help them up. That's the thing. It's almost the same kind of example. You're restoring that person back to his feet. And so in this way, you're restoring this person back into a spiritual mode. Okay, so if they get overtaken in a fault, you restore them. And listen to the reason why. Considering thyself. In other words, you better think about yourself. Because if I find you in a fault, and I give you down the country, well, guess what? Next time, it might be me. And what are you going to do? You're going to give me down the country. You're going to Bible beat, or what do they call it? You're going to beat my head over with the Bible and quote scripture and all this other stuff. Earl, you should have known better. Well, see how it works. If I help you and you help me, we help each other, we reach the final destination at the same time. But he says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. See, we're not immune, sad to say. People who are new to being Christians, if you feel like you're going to be able to coast along now that Christ has saved you, I have some bad news for you. You're not immune to temptations. You're not immune to falling once in a while into faults. But the good news is that Jesus said that John said this. He wrote it in a letter that Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He's faithful and just, but we just have to bring it back to him. So Jesus came to save souls. We know that. And we are to continue his mission here on earth. That's what we had a discussion on Wednesday about, remember? And thank y'all for the discussion. That was very good. I thought it went well. But we need to learn ways that we can reach out to the community and to each other in here. And have pray for discernment. Pray for discernment when we need to, maybe we sometimes need to approach people to see if they want to give their heart to the Lord. I know people used to do that all the time down in this other church, and that used to scare me. But you know what? I mean, some people are ready to give their heart to the Lord. They just can't seem to cross that threshold. You realize it takes courage to do that, to get up in front of a lot of people and admit that you're a sinner in need of saving and come to the Lord. Well, it takes courage, and we sometimes need to help people with that. So anyway, you just got to understand, people mess up. All of us, in different ways, we mess up. We got our faults. All of us, we have our faults. And there's some faults, some of our faults are really difficult to overcome. Again, I won't ask for any hands, but I mean, some people have problems with anger. Just total outbursts of anger. And it usually comes in the form of road rage. I think I can say I had that. I have my occasional bouts with it, but I had it so bad, it was, you would not want to be a passenger in my car. Oh, I wouldn't say bad words, but man, oh man, I would fuss. But I prayed to the Lord one day. I said, you know, Lord, I said, whoever cuts me off, I said, I'm going to pray for them. And I think God's had a sense of humor. I had so many people cut me off that day that I gripped that steering wheel as tight as I could. And I said, God bless them. Maybe they have to be somewhere. You know, it's just like, I took everything I could to pray for that person. And by the way, I don't know if I've added this before or not, but I got the several hand signal, the number one IQ level. That's what I call it. And when people cut me off, they give me the sign. You know, it's like, this is backwards, you know? I should be giving you the sign. But I didn't. I restrained myself. I restrained. But anyway, people do that. And we all have our faults. But you know what? You got to think about this. Brothers and sisters, when we first come to Christ, there's a lot we need to learn. A lot we need to grow upon. And so we're going to stumble. I don't know about you, but I've stumbled many, many times. And I still do, but not nearly as often. You know, thank God, not nearly as often. But our response should be that a godly person or somebody who's spiritual should try to restore someone rather than cut them off. We don't want to do that. Even in family makeups, you know, we don't want to just cut somebody off for a fault. We want to restore them back into the family. And so the reason being is because we could be next. We could be next, the next one. So let's go to the next scripture, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. So he tells us to bear ye one another's burdens. In other words, to help shoulder somebody's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And you might be asking yourself, well, what is the law of Christ? Well, it's interesting how Paul answers that question in the same book. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 14. Next scripture. Yeah, so here's what he's talking about. He already said it ahead of time. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Look at this. Even in this, you shall love thy neighbor as yourself. Well, that says it all. If you really love yourself, you're going to love your neighbor, or you should. But he's telling us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so that's fulfilling the law of Christ, because that was what Christ gave us to do. He even said in another place, maybe John wrote it. I'm trying to remember if Jesus said it or John wrote it. He said, but this is how you will know that you're one of his disciples. Why? Because you're going to have love for one another. By the same token, this is how we can tell you're not one of his disciples, is if you don't have love one for another. So it works both ways. So burdens, when you talk about burdens, you know, things that people carry, the Greek word is called baros, okay? I don't know Greek, I just know how to look it up. And it means like a heaviness, a weight, a burden, or some kind of trouble. And it's often something that somebody has to carry with them, sometimes for the rest of their life. It could be something that's carried, physical, mental, spiritual load, or oppressive, worrisome. People are worried about the virus, so they're carrying a burden. It could be financial burdens, you know, people carry, sorrow, grief. I mean, all kinds of worries. We should have, we often say the words, burden for lost souls. Jack, I'm so proud of you for always asking about your family, and we all should be doing the same thing, praying for our families. So, in other words, suffering in the form of grief, that really changes you. It changes you a lot. When I had an older sister that I never met, she died at 8 months old. I used to think six. I don't know why I did that, but it was at 8 months old, and my mom never got over that, and never met her. We would have been a family of six instead of a family of five, but she died at 8 months old. And so mom's grief was just as deep as it was years, then as it was years later. So suffering in the form of grief, it's just a pain, an ache that you have, and you got to try to help people through this. But you know what? Another thing it does, it helps turn us away from our self-centeredness. Okay, if we start learning to care about other people, we don't look so much toward ourselves. We start to look outward, and that's what we should do. We notice other people's pain. Sometimes we go through life and we don't notice other people and what they're going through. But it's good if you can have discernment and notice other people's pain. Just a minute. Keep in mind that these burdens also refers to failures, temptations, testings, trials, troublesome moral faults. Excuse me. And so we don't stand afar off. We don't want to be the criticizing ones. We want to help. Okay? So we want to be able to rush to a brother's side or a sister's side whenever they have this kind of pain or burden or anything like that that we can help with. And so if we're honest about it, these things that cause us pain, it'll actually deepen our love and maturity for one, and our relationships with each other. It'll just work for the good of all of everyone involved. So in doing so, we got to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. Okay, what does that mean? It means to be hurt. We've got to allow ourselves our willingness to help somebody else who may not want to be helped and who may sometimes can, out of their grief, will take it out on you. But if you're godly, if you're spiritual, you will understand that they're not speaking to you directly. They're speaking out of their pain, out of their grief. And sometimes you just happen to be there accepting it. And so the thing to do at that point is to listen. Is to listen and not fight it. Okay? Does that make sense? Not you want to help somebody through their pain, through their grief. And sometimes it comes out, I hate to say it, but it does. It comes out in a rage. Okay? Occasionally it does. But these pains can draw us closer to God or it can draw us away from God, and hopefully it'll draw us closer to God. Let's read Proverbs 17:22. I want to show you this. Proverbs 17:22. It says, a merry heart does good like a medicine. we've always heard laughter is a good medicine, right? But he also says a broken spirit, it dries the bones. My goodness, when you got a broken spirit, it just seems like it dries the bones. And look at Psalms 51 and 17, the next one. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. You know, isn't that amazing? God's not looking for anything like a sacrificial animal or anything like that. Nothing, no legalism involved here. And this is back in the Old Testament, Psalms 51. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. We come to Him in that way, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. How about that? He's more in tune with how your heart is at this point. Last verse, here we go. We're going to close on this verse. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. It says here, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Well, we read that and we kind of wonder. We're thinking like, well, Paul, what are you talking about? Well, sometimes people feel too high-minded to condescend, if you can use that word, or to help out somebody who seems to be inferior. That's what they're thinking. And now you might be thinking, how are you getting that in this scripture? Let's look at it in a different translation. This is the Amplified Version. It says this, if any person thinks himself to be somebody who is too important to condescend to shoulder another's load, that's somebody who thinks, look, you know what? That's their problem, not mine. I'm not going to worry about it. You know, hey, we all go through this, right? That's not the right attitude. It's not the right attitude. If we think we're too important to condescend to shoulder somebody's load when we are really nobody, you have to think about that. We're nobody special. Why? Because we can fall into the same thing ourselves. We're nobody special. Because it says, of superiority, except in his own estimation. And in other words, our own mind. We think we're better only in our own mind than to help somebody else out who may be homeless, for example. You know, I've actually heard people who say, you know what, go get a job. Yeah, easy for you to say. You know, tell a homeless person, go get a job. Easy for you to say. When somebody needs help, it's not up to you to decide whether or not you're good enough to help somebody like that. And that's what he's talking about here. Don't think of yourself as too important. Somebody who's better in their own mind, because why? He deceives himself and he deludes and he cheats himself. In other words, a lot of times we cheat ourselves out of a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to help somebody. And if you restore somebody back who may have walked away from the Lord and you restore him, what the scripture says, you've overcome a multitude of sins. Okay, you've overcome that. You've helped this person to come back and come back into the grace of our Lord and our Savior. And so what I want to end with on this is the fact that we're not too good to help even the lowest of people. Okay, in fact, I use the example of a homeless person, but you never know. That could be an angel. It could be an angel that has crossed your path, and maybe you're being tested to see how you're going to behave. And that might not be the only one. Angels can be in all kinds of situations, and they cross your path to see whether or not you're going to follow the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Does anybody remember? Love your neighbor as yourself. Exactly. Who is my neighbor? One man asked. Well, Jesus told a big long story, and it turned out it just simply means somebody else. It doesn't mean your brother in Christ, although he is your neighbor, but it just means somebody else you might not even know. The Good Samaritan helped somebody he didn't even know. Paid for his hotel room, medical bills, and he's come back. He said, when I come back again, he said, take care of this man. When I come back, if I owe you anything, I'll pay you that too. I mean, The guy had no idea in Jesus's parable how much this was going to cost him. He had no idea. But he helped. And Jesus said, "Now, who was the neighbor to that man?" And the guy couldn't even bring himself to say Samaritan. He said, "He that showed mercy." Well, Christ took it. "Okay, I'll take that. You go and do likewise, and you'll live." And so that's what he did. That's what he taught us. So let's love one another as ourselves. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given us. Ask you, God, that you'll help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, but also to take these words in your scripture and apply them, Lord, to our lives. Let's be doers of the word and not hearers only. And God, I pray that you'll help us to live out this life that you have called us to. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.